Welcome to The Dental Handoff. I'm Dr. Kelly Tanner, and today I have back with me Dr. Tanya Maestas. Am I saying that right?
You are. Kelly, you got it right.
Woo! Yeah. We did it. All right. This Virginia girl. Sometimes, you know. Yeah. Sometimes, y'all. It is a delight to have you back, and I want to know more about what you think that you wish you would have known when you got out of dental school. Like, what are some things you wish you would have, people would have told you about getting out of dental school?
All the things. I feel like, I think that growing up when I decided to be a dentist, I had this vision of dentistry that it was just going to be, you know, rainbows and butterflies and everything was going to be perfect. And I wasn't going to struggle with my handwork and patients were going to love me. And that is not the case. The majority of the patients do, but, we can't please everyone. And that can be really challenging as a people pleaser, as a recuperating people pleaser, right? We were always working on getting better at that. But it's just hard. Dentistry is very, very challenging. It changes every day. As they say, it's the practice of dentistry because day in and day out, you're just trying to get better. It's hard. And one thing that I thought going into dental school is that I was going to go in and I was going to learn everything. I was going to learn everything I needed to know. So that way, when I came out, I knew everything and life was going to be dandy. I found that coming out of dental school, I knew enough to scratch the surface and that was it, just to kind of stay afloat a little bit. And I really think that for me, a lot of my learning came after that. Mm. A lot of my learning came during 2020 because everyone was doing webinars and I learned a ton and all of them were free and it was great. And you were listening to these industry leaders just kind of sharing their knowledge. And after 2020, I just had to take a break because I literally was on a webinar, you know, just multiple times a day. And it was so much. But there's a wealth of knowledge in the profession that I just didn't know wouldn't be tapped into as a dental student. And it's still so exciting to learn it all. And I still feel like there's so much that I don't even know. There's so much to learn about, you know, these teeth that we have in our mouths and how to treat patients and the best way to do things. I wish I would have known that for sure.
So is there a way that you think that you could have, I don't know. There's a curriculum in dental school and dental hygiene school and all the things. It's like the things that you're supposed to know, the things you're supposed to know along until you graduate and until you're competent enough not to kill someone. Right.
Right. Yeah.
Then they only have so much time to fit it all in. So is there something that would have prepared you more for that? Or do you think it's just part of the learning that you go through?
I think it's part of the learning. It's so funny because I feel like the people that I shadowed kind of gave me that impression that, you know, life was good in dentistry, and it is. It's very fulfilling. It's very rewarding. But I feel like I never really was there to see a lot of the challenges. I really only shadowed one dentist who, you know, asked me several times, "Are you sure you want to do this?" And I never understood why. And I feel like I understand why a little bit more now. Hmm. I think that, you know, it's hard. Dentistry is hard. It's hard in different ways. It's physically challenging. It's emotionally challenging. It's expensive. And so I think that it just takes the right person and the right mindset to want to be in this profession. And I think that that's why maybe we see a lot more dentists nowadays who have felt that potentially dentistry isn't really the right thing for them. I don't think that they had that realistic view of what dentistry really is. And so for me, I couldn't see myself doing anything else, but I think that that's just a stark reality for many people that get into the profession and they feel like, you know, this isn't what I bargained for. This isn't what I signed up for. Maybe I'll look to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to those people, I would encourage them to seek out a realm of dentistry that they like and maybe consider practicing in a different way. I think we're very blessed to be in a profession where you can, you know, you don't have to be a practice owner. You really don't even have to practice dentistry if you feel like if you don't want to. You know, you can go a different route. You can be an educator. You can go into research. There's just different ways to kind of be in dentistry. And I think that if you hopefully try different things, hopefully you'll find something that you enjoy and, you know, fall in love with the profession all over again.
Yeah. What do you remember what it was that was going on when he said to you, "Are you sure you want to do this?"
You know, we would just sit and have kind of just a heart to heart. And I remember him saying that he wouldn't encourage his children to go into dentistry. And it's just, I just think that he was wishing to do something different. Mm. And I don't think dentistry was what he thought it was going to be for him. So I don't think it was any procedure in particular, though I did see some wild things in that clinic, but I think that he was just very much a realist in the sense of his delivery. And I think that that's fair. I think that people need to see, I think pre-dental students need to see both sides of what they're getting into.
Yeah. So there's that. There's the whole world of what you're stepping into. And a part of that world is products, techniques, learning curves along all of those things.
It's so much, right? It's a ton. There's just, you know, I don't think you can know it all in dentistry. And if you feel like you do, well, perhaps it is time to move on to something else. But there's just a world of different things that you can learn about in the profession, and, you know, materials that just, it's something that we use every day. And for me, coming out of dental school, I went into dental school, checked off the boxes, and I got out. So I didn't really understand the why on why we were doing things. And I think that that was just because I had a hard time just adjusting to all the material that was coming at us, learning it, digesting it, really understanding it. And so those first few years out of dental school, I really tried to sit with understanding the why and why we do things. And for me, I have since, you know, fallen in love a little bit with what we coin now biomedic dentistry, and kind of the materials that are used and the why it's used. And for me, it just makes sense. It makes dentistry a lot more fun for me. But there are a ton of different ways to skin a cat, as they say. And so just kind of picking different materials and methods that you can incorporate into your practice can really be essential to making your day flow a lot better. But for me, once I learned a lot of these techniques, it just started to make sense and things were easier. And I found a lot more enjoyment in things that may become monotonous in the practice. So yeah. You know, I'm not just here to drill and fill. It's a tooth and it's an art. You know, let's take time with it and let's sculpt it and let's take pictures of it and show our artwork and get better for the next time. And so that's really the approach that I have started to take a little bit more, just to find joy and fulfillment in the day-to-day so it doesn't feel that monotonous.
I think that's so important in every profession. And that's why I encourage even folks in my profession, lean into technology, know the products, know how to compare and contrast to help your doctor and your office and your team make decisions that are what your patient population requires. And it's not one size fits all.
Oh, and absolutely.
So,
yeah.
You know, and when you're handling a different material, it's just so different. And I could see how you would, I've never been a dentist, obviously, but I can see how just one material could be like, okay, this is so much easier.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. And it, you know, I love a certain composite, and I feel like if I could have all composites just be as flowy as this composite, I would use different composites in this way. But I think that it's so important to try different things and find out what's best for you. And it likely will work. You know, many of the chemistries are very similar across different products. And so it likely will work in the patient's mouth. It really is kind of just handling properties to see if it works for you. And that's one thing that I have really enjoyed being in a public health setting, and in a setting where I'm not really forced to use XYZ materials and really allowed to try different things, is that I've tried different materials along the way, different composites, different bonding agents. And, you know, it hasn't been at cost to me, which has been really nice. And I've really been able to see, you know, what works in my hands and what doesn't, what causes sensitivity, what patients like, what breaks down. And so that has been really cool for me, just to find out what I like to do and what I like to use. And so that's just a little small plug for public health dentistry. Not all FQHCs are made the same, but that has been really cool for me to just kind of try different things. And so if I do choose to leave to do something else, I already have that in my back pocket, and I can take those systems and put them into play.
Yeah, that's awesome. What a great place to be, and to be able to try different things. Like you said, put it in your hands, see if it works, if you like it, if you want to do something different. And I also know the dentists who will not try anything new that is stuck on what they're stuck on. You can't pry it out of their hands no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah. We practiced with a few dentists who, you know, love amalgam, and being at an FQHC, it's a hard sell to get them away from it because it works so well. And
yeah, you know,
it's probably the right population for it. But I am here to argue that composite is great. That's why our bonding agents are there. You can make something that'll last a really long time, but it's really hard to argue with others who have had great success with amalgam as well too. And so, it's hard. Those are hard battles that I'm not here to fight, but I am here to fight the fight that if people are struggling and they need a better way to practice in their own practice, here are some tools that you could potentially use.
Mm-hmm. So what are ways that you have gotten to experience different products and, you know, learn about different techniques? Are you going to courses? Are you reaching out to people?
I love CE. Love CE. You know, if I could go to one every weekend, I would. There's something that I'm doing on Instagram now where I share a CE a week at least. And so I share, you know, a link to a CE course that a different company is hosting. Most of them are for free. And, you know, for me, it's a way to get kind of CE credits towards my mastership in the AGD, but also a way for me to kind of share different CE experiences with others and learn about new materials, et cetera. You know, and based on kind of the feedback that people are giving or the presenter is giving during these CE courses, and I'll be like, oh, well, maybe I'll try that. And so I'll come back and, you know, sometimes I'll order things, and sometimes the team is, well, is this what you're going to be using now? And I'll have to remind them, no, this is something I'm trying. And, you know, next week I'll try something else. But I try to be as consistent as I can. But sometimes some of the CE courses do offer some products that are eye-opening, and they're really fun to kind of use and to incorporate into the workflow. And so CE courses, I would say, is probably one of the biggest ways that I have learned about new materials and composites and instruments to use. Mm-hmm. And Instagram University, as they call it, right? People sharing different pictures and videos of procedures and techniques of things that they're doing.
Can't look away from them. Yeah,
can't look away. Double-edged sword, right? So you can learn a lot, but sometimes it makes you feel very minute in the world and remind you that you have a long way to go with your hand skills. So,
yeah, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine showing something to yourself now and then showing something to yourself, or, you know, showing something to someone else or taking a picture of it and keeping it in the archives and being like, oh my gosh, how I learned 5 years ago from where I was. Man, yeah. Did I know, I'm sure we all have felt like that I tell the story sometimes of where when I was 6 months out or 8 months out being a hygienist and I would see my patients again for their next 6 month appointment. I thought, man, who is this hygienist that kept missing the distal of number, you know, the second molars. I'm like, oh, that was me.
That was me. Yeah. Sometimes I'll have patients come back after a few years and I'll see things on the x-ray. I'm like, oh my gosh, who did that? And then I'll look, I'm like, oh, humbled. It was me. So we try again to be better. You know, that's all you can really do.
This word of being humble. This is great.
Yeah. And then sometimes you see things and you're like, oh, well, I did that and it worked.
Yeah. And part of it is knowing too, not just what you have, but what's going to work in that situation based on the structure, the patient. There's so many variables for dentists to consider.
Yeah. Dentistry is challenging in that way. Teeth are weird is what I always tell patients. You know, sometimes when you know things are going to work and they fail, it can be really frustrating. And sometimes when you know it's going to fail and they work for years, you're like, what the heck? Like, this was not supposed to work, but it does. And so teeth are weird.
Yeah, that's when you're like, yes, win.
Yeah, teeth are weird. Lots of heroics in public health dentistry. And so sometimes you try things that you're like, this 15 surface, what feels like 15 surface filling is not going to work, right? Like the whole tooth is just constructed out of material. You're like, there's no way. You're going to be back in a few weeks. And, you know, 3 years later, they're still rocking like, that. And you're like, oh my gosh. Yeah, crazy. Teeth are weird. That's the that needs to be in textbooks. Weird.
Yeah. Or, and on t-shirts, I could see this.
Yeah. Yeah. I see it.
T-shirt. Right. What else do you wish that people would have told you?
I think that, and you know, we talked about this in a different episode, but I think that I wish I would have known how lonely dentistry can get. I think that, especially if you practice by yourself, it can be a lot of fun, but you know, not having a support system, a community behind you can make things really challenging. And so I would encourage people who are dentists to make their lives a little bit better and seek out a community who can help support each other. And also, you know, you can kind of bounce ideas back and forth. And so I would really, really encourage that. And that's not something that I kind of knew or expected coming out of dental school, especially, you know, you're in dental school, you know, you're there almost what it feels like 24 hours a day with your friends and your colleagues and these mentors that are there. And then you leave and that kind of all goes away.
Right.
And so that structure, getting away from that structure was really challenging for me. Which is probably why I went on and got another degree after that. I did a dental public health residency and MPH, but that showed me real quick that I was schooled out. So no more of that. But just, you know, that school structure for me, I really, really liked knowing what time you needed to go in and out and things were scheduled for you or you scheduled things. And it was nice.
So yeah, how many years have you been out now?
I have been out 6 years, which is crazy. Definitely doesn't feel like six. It feels more like three, maybe because COVID was in there. And I did an AGD after that. So that may be why, but crazy. Time flies.
Yeah. How many days a week do you work?
So I have a weird setup. I work every day, but Mondays and Fridays, I work 7 to noon. Monday afternoons, I'm at the dental school. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I work 7 to 5:30. Okay. So it should be it's like a modified 4:10 schedule where one of the days is split on 2 days. Gotcha. And those 7 a.m.s are tough.
I bet. Yeah. No. Yeah. You got to keep it low key the night before.
Yeah. It's hard. You know, I could not rock the sleep schedule that I had in dental school. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. It's the balance of learning how to learn all the things. So then right now you don't really, I mean, you're working with the team, but do you manage the team or does someone else do that?
Yeah. So I oversee the team, you know, I have a say in hiring and letting go. But I don't technically have to do any of that. All of that is done behind the scenes. But you know, I have two assistants that, you know, we collaborate together. We're the ones that kind of huddle together and decide, you know, how the week's going to work and if we're going to be a happy group or a sad group about it. And I oversee our front desk as well too. And so I would say that I'm still the lead. I'm still the director here in the clinic, but it's maybe a little bit different than like in the private practice. But I still feel like I have learned quite a bit in leading a team in this kind of setting.
I'm going to ask a difficult question, but like,
yeah, tell me.
One thing that you think that you've, where's the one area you feel like you've grown the most that you've learned about managing teams?
Yeah. Having difficult conversations and just pushing that uncomfortable feeling down. And it's still hard. It's still very challenging. Like I said, recovering people pleaser, that can be really, really hard for me, but knowing the importance of having those conversations early can really make a big difference in every aspect of, you know, practicing in an office. And so learning how to have those difficult conversations, I think, is something that I wish I would have also learned and known about and known how to do. Like, I wish, you know, there's no training manual on that. I guess you can have coaches and people come in and kind of help guide you through it. But it's really hard when you're just coming out. You know, the assistants that I came into had been practicing a really long time and they were very welcoming to me. But I know that for others, that is not the case or situation. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, those tough conversations are really important.
So early, have them early, right?
Have them early. Have them early, have them often.
Aha. They seem to be like, no, another conversation. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. But what kind of strategies other than having it early would you offer?
I'm a big proponent of the compliment sandwich. And so to help lighten the load in the conversation, for me personally, I like to, you know, open with something positive, then, you know, stick the constructive criticism in there and then try to end on a positive note on how things are going to get better moving forward. And so I learned the compliment sandwich in ASDA and it's something that stuck with me and it helps me communicate better to my team and makes it easier for me to have those tough conversations. Do you have to do that? No, it just kind of works. What works for me?
Yeah. It's your framework.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a guidance for you of, okay, how right. I'm going to do this when it's this. Okay, this has worked in the past, so I'm going to do this.
Yes, exactly.
It lands better. It does.
Yeah. And I think it just makes me feel better about it as well, too.
Yeah. But I am sure that they appreciate that you, these critical conversations, that it could be perceived as conflict or difficult, challenging conversations. They're a gift. Even though they're uncomfortable, you learn a lot about yourself and how you are being perceived. I had one yesterday where a student said something. I was like, I am sorry that came off that way. I had no idea. But the fact that they could come to me and talk to me about it meant a lot.
Yeah.
And that it was respectful and it wasn't escalated. It was de-escalated because it was early.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a big
thing. Early conversations are huge.
Once the pressure rises, you just blow your valve and they just deconstruct.
Yeah. Another thing I think that's important, you know, and you just said it yourself, is learning to say sorry, to apologize. I think that oftentimes we hold our egos very high, even when we're in the wrong, and learning to say sorry and apologize can go a long way mm-hmm. in all facets of life. But really sometimes in practice as well too. You know, you may not be having a great day and you may answer in an inappropriate tone to your team. And, you know, just because you're having a bad day doesn't mean everyone has to come down with you. And so saying sorry, I think, can really be helpful.
Mm-hmm. Staying humble and knowing that we don't know it all and remaining neutral to learn something else is a big deal. It's crazy how much just that makes your day better. But having that positive attitude as well, because when you're talking too about the faces that we make, man, sometimes we're thinking about something that has nothing to do with what's in front of us. But my face is here, but I'm thinking over here, but the people here think that my face is about here, and it's just not. And it's I'm like, okay, you probably read my face. I was not even thinking about that right now. I apologize.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Our facial expressions. Yes. I have a lot of facial expressions, so that can be hard. The team knows or already knows when, you know, something's going wrong. And it's so funny because I'm always like, I don't get upset. And they're like, oh, you do. You may feel like you don't, but we see it.
So. Well, that's good that they know.
Right. Yeah, they know. I know, which is good.
One of the things that I do with a lot of offices is they usually know their DISC profiles, their DISC profiles.
Love DISC. Yes.
If not, you can find it free online, but to understand the lines of communication between each person and how they prefer to be communicated with. And it truly builds a nice blueprint or structure for communication of when the other person's stressed, how to go to another person with a problem, what they don't want to hear about, how they don't want to be communicated with, and how they do want to be communicated with. So it all builds those guidelines that fall into your sandwich, but in a different way, different construct.
Absolutely. And I think every young adult should do the DISC, so that way they know as they kind of progress in their adult life who they are. I feel we did DISC in ASDA, and I thought it was very telling as to who I am as a person, who I am as a leader. And I have to pull it up. It's been a while since I looked at it, but I think that it's just very, very helpful. And I feel like when you're applying for jobs, you just should include that when you apply. When you're looking for a significant other, you should include that as well too. And I just think that, this is my application. Let's see if we vibe. Yeah, but DISC profiles are really great. I think that it's a more telling profile analyzer as opposed to some of the other ones that are out there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you could compile them all and give them to the offices, but I agree with your point. I think every human needs to do one, should do Absolutely. One, not needs, but should. Young, older, whatever, because it's how other people perceive us, and that's relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. And it can be hard to, it can, I feel like it can be hard. It can be difficult to internally recognize everything that the DISC provides in the breakdown. And so when you read the breakdown, you're like, oh yeah, that's me. That's right.
But then I think the helpful part is now what, you know, and then that's when it's helpful to put that composite analysis together of the mm-hmm. team to say, okay, now that you know this, what is Tanya's, you know, love language pretty much? How do you talk to her about
pretty much, yeah.
And to operationalize that. And I say, put that up in a break room, put it at your front desk, wherever it needs to remind you so that you can, I found myself when we did that going back and being like, okay, how do I talk to that person using right. that as a reference?
Yes. And I think that it's a great way to also learn how to play to people's strengths. Mm-hmm. So there may be somebody who is, you know, on that side where they're very, very organized, and you may have somebody who maybe isn't, and maybe they can be used for something else where, you know, this very organized person may shine for in another sure. area as well too. And so, yeah, great stuff there.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Anything that you want to add?
No, Kelly, it's always a joy, honor, pleasure to speak with you. I think that you're doing a great job in these conversations that you're having. And if, you know, if anyone wants to reach out to me, you're welcome to. Most of the time I'm on Instagram trying to bring some joy and comedy into people's lives through different reels.
Love your reels.
Yeah. My handle is tsmyestes.tds. And hopefully we will see each other, yourself and all your listeners at a conference in the future.
Yes. I hope to see you soon, my friend.
Yes.
All right. Thank you again for your words and for your insight. And to all of our listeners, thank you for all that you do. Go on over to YouTube, like, subscribe, share with the people that you'd love, 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 and then go on over to Apple Podcasts and give us the 5-star rating, because hopefully we've earned it. We will see you next time, my friends. Until then, be well.
Thank you.